Greetings to every one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We turn our attention now to God's holy word. Our Lord Jesus is speaking in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Be seated.
Some illustrations really stick in your mind. I know that when I was attending Bethany back in 1973, yes, I have to admit I'm a fossil, I was in the course on comparative religions with Professor Rudy Hunze, the hall named after him, of course. And I recall that at the end of the semester, it was a rather interesting illustration that he used to compare Christianity with all the other religions in the world. I don't think the illustration was really unique to him at all, but he did talk about it this way, and he said that there was a missionary who was trying to picture this for people, and he had a huge poster out there with all kinds of panels on it. And in the first panel, you saw that there was a man who was down in a pit, very steep pit, and the sides were unable to be, you couldn't climb up the sides at all to get out. The man was obviously trapped way down in the pit. In the second panel came along a representative of one of the religions, Confucianism, and basically said something like this to the man. And by the way, I remember Professor Hunze said, we're using this illustration not to try to demean the religions of the world that way or mock them and make fun, but to really show really the foolishness of these religions when it comes to the end game. So in that second panel, there came this representative of Confucianism who basically said something like this. He said, careful men don't fall into pits. Careful men really watch where they're going. So be much more careful next time you're out for a walk. And then in another panel, there was one of the Taoism religion that way. And this person representing the religion was standing at the edge of the pit there and said to the man down in the pit, well, you need to burn some incense and try to quiet the spirits that way. That'll help. But still, the man was left in the pit. And then came a representative of Buddhism, a Buddhist monk, and was standing at the side there as he was talking to the man down in the pit and said, you know, the trouble with you, dear man, is that you really want to get out of this pit. He says, you really should not feel that way. You should actually set your mind and do what you can to put yourself in that frame of mind, imagining that you don't need to get out of this pit and that things will be fine for you. Again, left the man helpless. Then there was also representative to Imam from Islam and stood there and also said to the man in the pit, you know, he said, well, you know what you need to do here is to try to turn and find the direction of Mecca and now bow down and I want you to follow the five pillars of Islam. Again, the man was left devastated, still in the pit. Then comes a panel, of course, where you see a Christian missionary that's there to bring the gospel. And this gospel bringer is not standing there, really, but is actually on knees, reaching down into the pit because he's got the gospel message, and actually pulls this man out of the pit. And then in the very final panel, you see there's this man standing on this solid rock, huge rock. And as he's there, he's singing praises to God for having taken him out of the pit. Quite an interesting illustration that comes to mind when I think of the words before us of our Lord Jesus here. Actually, he spoke this in the Sermon on the Mount. And it reminds us, doesn't it, that only biblical Christianity is the one that really recognizes, first of all, the pit for what it really is, an eternally hopeless situation. But then biblical Christianity is also the only one, the only religion in the world that comes along and tells you how to get out of the pit and even gets you out of the pit by that religion itself. Because, you see, the religion is all on Christ, and Christ alone, our solid rock. There's an interesting phrase that occurs a number of times in the Old Testament, actually. And it is simply the question that is asked by God when he says, "Is my arm too short?" And Isaiah then says in chapter 59, he has God responding, saying through the prophet, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save." And we think of that, the picture there of the arm going down. And how does God save? It is through that gospel message which directs us to Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. And I can't help but think, too, of what the Apostle Paul said that certainly describes the pit situation, but at the same time, the wonderful matter that we are rescued from the pit through Christ. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's the pit. But are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If you, along with me today, certainly are confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, that means believing then that he has forgiven your sins, you are really on the rock. You are on solid ground. But I want to talk to you about something here because of what the text brings out. How is it going for us on the rock? Do we always feel as firm there, solid on that rock as we should with our faith? Or can it happen that we're doing some slipping that way? And yesterday we were doing all kinds of slipping, I'm sure, and the day before. So we know that that can happen to us, right? Where we think things are so strong and all of a sudden, boom, a minute later, we realize we're slipping again, falling away. Our Lord Jesus here talks about this in the text, doesn't he? That how you're on what ground are you really building your life? How do you see yourself that way? And as we say, we want to see ourselves with him on the rock. College time, as people would say, is the time for you to do some constructing. You're constructing for your future. And maybe some of you, even though this isn't a trade school, of course, but are actually dreaming about building your own home someday in some idyllic setting and so on, and actually doing it all the way from ground up. It's kind of an interesting challenge, isn't it? Maybe some of you are having other goals in your life too, and that would be to just do another kind of home building, and that is maybe getting married, having children, a family, having a good job. Maybe if it's not marriage, that you're thinking of doing something that's going to be beneficial for society and so on. All good goals that way. But as I say, some people may think that what you're really doing here is that you're planning for your future, that you're constructing for your future. But Jesus is talking about right here a building situation for right now. And it is something that is not optional. In other words, you're either building one way or you'll be building a different way that way. All kinds of people we can think of in the world, as that hymn says, you know, spend their time fretting and in getting all kinds of things that have no solid ground. And, you know, we can think of sports figures that way that we may really admire in many ways, of course, because what they can do, or actors that way. And yet, when we start looking and reading about their lives or hearing some things about them, we start to realize there's not a lot to admire there in the spiritual realm. Jesus' words here are not meant to have us quickly cast our eyes on other people in a condescending way. He's really having us think about this for our own selves. Keep in mind, we said this is from the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks especially to his followers that way. And he wants us to take inventory for our own life this way. And he does this in a loving manner, loving admonishing manner that way for us. And note how Jesus speaks about the proper kind of building. He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." In the book of James, there's a statement that says, the question being raised there, are we like someone who looks into a mirror and sees what he is like, and in this case, it's like a baptized Christian, sees what they're like, but then goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like? Well, you and I have to admit, don't we, when we take a good hard look at our life, we have to admit that we fall down so often. We've been brought out of the pit, but so often we're kind of going over there and looking again at that pit. Something about it. And of course, we know it's our old sinful nature that cahoots with the world and the devil that way and wants to kind of keep digging back. Well, why go back into the pit that way? We know that is a destructive situation that will come with a great crash, says Jesus, eternally. And it's interesting that in the Greek language, the word great is really emphasized at the end of that sentence. Great crash. Other foundation can no one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We know that this is where we go for our help. And dear friends, this is where we go. Every time we fall down, every time we're tempted to get back in the pit and to wallow around, we still go back to the Savior. We go back to where He has solid ground, firma terra for us. We go there. And where is that? Well, remember, we're not going back to anything that we've made up with our architectural skills and so on. He's the one who built us on the foundation in the first place. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah, this one that they called the son of the carpenter, he's the real builder. And this one, as son of God and son of man, is where we find our salvation. And he has an engineer at work, a full-time builder at work all the time to keep us back on that firm ground of faith. And you know that's God the Holy Spirit working through word, the word of the gospel, and baptism in the Lord's Supper. Because that is how we have what we need strongly every day of our life, and it keeps us prepared always for whatever comes along, the storms of life and so on, keeps us firmly grounded there because it's in that, the means of grace, we call it, word and sacrament, we have what we need all the time. And it's there for sure, the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, dear friends, your sins and mine have been forgiven because of our Savior Jesus Christ coming, living the life we couldn't, and then also dying the death that we had deserved because he took upon himself the pit for all of us. And now through faith in him, we can be certain that we're really heading. We're heading not just to the rock right now, but we're heading with the rock of ages to be with him forever and ever in eternal life in heaven. A sainted Lutheran scholar by the name of Hermann Preuss once gave this simple but profound statement. In fact, it's from a book that he wrote called Theology to Live By. And he makes this important remark. A theology to live by only can only be that when it is a theology of certainty. And it can only be a theology of certainty when it is a theology of the Word. Yes, thank God, you and I have been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Holy Scripture, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, the Scriptures constantly directing us to him as our crucified and risen Savior. That's how we got out of the pit. And that's how we will always remain on the rock. And even when the slippages come, we're going back to that same foundation again and again, word and sacrament. And that's how, when we're on that rock, we're able to be of great assistance to others around us, too, to have a firm faith that will always weather every storm of life. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? O God, you make the minds of the faithful to be of one will. Grant unto your people that they may love what you command and desire what you promise. That among the many changes of this world, our hearts may always be fixed where true joys are to be found, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.